Good evening, America, and welcome to our First Right conference call for July 22nd of 2019. And my name is Johnny B. Michael. These calls occur every Monday evening at 8 o'clock Central Time, with post-discussion ongoing once recording is closed. The recordings pertain to progress and serve as an archival vault of this momentous action we've set out upon. Our First Right initiative is Real Americans' efforts to draw together a coalition of focused Americans. The folks focused upon leading the way to restoring real American liberty and freedom under the perfected guidelines, the United States Constitution. This will be a very short-lived effort, as our First Right will dissolve once the ratification of the original first article is completed. The first enforcement mechanism of the original 12 protections passed with the Bill of Rights. That first article being a proportional representation and the only thing George Washington actually spoke to during the entirety of the state's convention of 1787. And this would be the article. Article the First. After the first enumeration required by the first article of the Constitution, there shall be one representative for every 30,000, until the number shall amount to 100. After which, the proportion shall be so regulated by Congress that there shall not be less than 100 representatives, nor less than one representative for every 40,000 persons. Until the number of representatives shall amount to 200. After which proportion shall be so regulated by Congress that there should not be less than 200 representatives, nor more than one representative for every 50,000 persons. One night I will get all the way through that article, y'all. This conference operates in an open line format. This means that if you have any noises occurring around you, it will interfere with the conversation within this room. So please use your mute button on your phone or press star 6, and the system will mute your line. That way you can enter and leave the discussion as you wish. And I thank you very much for that. So grab your favorite beverage, possibly a pencil and a piece of paper for any perks and details that might pop out. And let us begin. Aaron, it's all yours.
Thank you, Kennedy. Good evening, everyone. Hi, hello, and welcome to our First Right National Conference call. Thank you for joining us. Today is July 22nd of 2019, and we are still rocking and rolling and getting things done. Johnny B. did read to us the article the first, and this will probably be the last evening we'll read that on our conference calls. I will refer or ask Johnny to refer everyone to our website to read that in full when they have time. We're getting limited on our time as far as recording time and ability to get things done. So we're going to try to shorten our introduction so we can get straight on to some things. Tonight, I'd like to recognize some people who've been working really hard in the background that most folks probably aren't aware of. So I'd like to recognize our board members, Charles Barrett, Dixie Bledsoe, Bill Hosey, Jim Harrison, Michael Height, and I'm missing one other person somewhere in there. And also I'd like to recognize Tom Belmore, Michael Height, Dan Enser, Jerry Kellens, Jen Perry, and Johnny D. as well. And also John Lazorik with Tactical Civics, who's been a wonderful help for us and been kind of mentoring us through some of the paperwork details of what we've been doing. So thank you all for all of your help and your support and your service for what we're trying to do. I'm a little under the weather, so I apologize to everybody. I'm just going to try to get through the call tonight. We're in open call format tonight, which means we'd like to invite everybody to come in and talk and comment, bring in suggestions and ideas. We are in development stages right now and working on some things. Obviously, most legislative sessions have ended, so there's not a whole lot of moving and shaking going on at the Capitol, but we are still doing a lot of groundwork, footwork, and trying to contact legislators in their hometowns and where they're living and working and spending their time. So we're still trying to do those kinds of things. But in the meantime, we're also trying to get the word out and speak to other people and tell them about our first right, let them know what we are and what we're trying to do, and that we are working to be a nonprofit organization so that we can bring in greater donations. So please tell all of your friends and family and everyone about us. Pass it along to the county next to you. Let people know what we're all about, what we're trying to do. And what we are trying to do is inform people and educate people and let them know about this amendment that's been sitting out there, this original First Amendment that needs ratification, that needs that completion. And as I was reminded earlier today, this is a complete legislation on its own. It does not need augmenting. It doesn't need changing. All it needs is a vote up and down in each state. So it's not something that is affected by the federal government. The federal government has nothing to do with this anymore. It's already been voted on by our state, our federal Senate and federal House, and it goes straight to the state. So it is a state issue at this point. So I remind myself and I remind others about that, is that this is not something where we're not trying to fight the federal government. What we're trying to do is encourage everyone in each state to go to their legislators and tell them that this is something that we want finished, we want it completed. So we're hoping to educate more and more people and get the word out to let folks know this is something that can be done, but it's only by us, the people. Only we can do this. And we have to keep encouraging and talking to our legislators and our representatives, the people who we voted to go out there and represent us. So let's ask them to continue to keep doing their job and finish this one thing. It's been sitting there, just sitting there. It's sitting in Article 5. So it's waiting for its, you know, its day in the sun to get completed. And I'd like to put a challenge out. Let's go for the 12th state. Who's going to be the 12th state? How hard will it be to talk to some people in your state and say, hey, we want this done? If you have one representative in your state, obviously that's something you're going to want to really work on. I mean, how many times do you get to talk to that representative? How often do you see that person working for you and representing you? So these are some of the things we need to focus on, getting the word out and helping other people understand what it is we're trying to do, why this is so important. It helps all of us in so many ways. It's something we've talked about many times as far as fixing how things are going in our government. And there's so many different organizations and causes going on out there, and they're all valid and viable and important. But many of them just can't get a foothold because you run up against all kinds of blockades. Most of those are governmental blockades. And it's important that we start, you know, at the beginning. And the beginning is getting that article first completely ratified. Then we have that representation we're supposed to have. Then we can talk to these people. We have them in our home districts. We can tell them we want some of these things changed. We don't want smart meters. We don't want 5G. We don't want this. We do want this and we do want that, but we can't get the word to these representatives because they're still working for themselves and continue to work for their next campaign. I would like to see a way that we could force them to give us their real updates, what they really did. I mean, oh yeah, you went to all these committees and you talked about all these things, but what have you really accomplished for us people? Like to see more accountability, you know, in that department. So that's why we're here. We're here to hopefully help, you know, this ratification get completed and then bring that responsibility back to the people. We need to be doing that. So I hope everyone is doing well this evening. That's my monologue for the evening, and I'd love to hear from some other people. We have a new person with us, Jen Perry. We're hoping to have her come on as our social media evangelist because she's already proven that she's got the teeth for it, and she's been absolutely wonderful for us. Thank you, Jen. And we have updated the website, the call meme on the website now, so that's up to date, and we can still keep referring people back to our website to find out more information about us and our call date. I'm trying to remember. I think there was some other things. We have a strategic planning meeting coming up this Thursday. Hope to get more of that accomplished and report back to everyone on Monday what we're getting done, working on our mission statement, and some of these things are really important for us to complete other paperwork. So we'll be looking forward to getting some of that finished up. And wanted to just quickly again thank John Lazor for his help. He's been trying to help us get some back work done, and he's been amazing doing that. So thank you so much for your help, and appreciate you being a liaison and getting some of that done for us. I know we've got some members on the call tonight. I know Bill Hosey's out there. Hi, Bill. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing real well. I was wanting to ask Jen a question.
Go right ahead.
Okay, sorry.
Do you remember earlier we were talking about tuning forks and I guess for lack of a better way, we never use this word, but it comes in there, rhythm?
Yes.
And you can kind of feel the rhythm, and that's good. And when you just can't get the rhythm, that's not so good. You know, something needs to change.
Yeah.
And what needs to change is the rhythm. Well, the reason I bring this up is Aaron was talking about, you know, we need to let these people know what we want, which is pretty accurate. Well, I mean, we do need to do that. But in order to, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, in order to, you know, I don't know what that means. But another something that maybe should be given some thought. I know I'll give it some thought. I think I already did. But I'm a quick thinker, so I just think of stuff and spew it out of my mouth. And sometimes I don't take time to think about it, which I think in this case is one of those times. But these guys that we want to introduce this stuff for a vote, it needs to be more about what they want. And somehow we need to figure out how in the world do we get the rhythm going to where they get it and accept it. And now that they want to do what it is we want them to really do. They want to do it worse.
That's a great point. I feel like in a lot of ways they've been using that tactic on us, trying to get us to want what they want.
Yeah, sure.
Good point.
So how do we reverse that on them?
Yeah, that's a good thing to think about.
Well, let's analyze the trickle down theory.
Mm.
How would more federal representation at the state level help our individual states, and how would it benefit those state representatives?
Well, you got to think, I mean, these are citizens too, and they have friends and family and loved ones that are affected by corruption in politics, and a lot of people who got into politics originally because they wanted to make a change. And once they get stuck and they feel like, well, there's just no point, that's when they get sucked into the swamp with everyone else. But maybe we can appeal to that side of them that originally wanted to make a change.
Now, there you go.
Start let them feel like it is possible, you know.
Positive change for good.
Mm.
Another thing that we've talked about, too, is the representative that brings that amendment forward for vote, you know, they go down in state history, you know, being that person, that representative that brought that forward to, you know, for the state vote. So they go down in history, you know, they have their name kind of penned up there.
There you go. That's a good motivator for some of these people because, yeah, a lot of people do get in because they want to be, you know, infamous.
Right, right.
Wow,
you know, appeal.
Something that just hit it.
What's that, Bill? Bill?
I think we lost him.
Oh, golly. But that is something that we've talked about. I mean, appealing to their nature of, you know, wanting to have a little bit of celebrity time.
Mm.
I mean, more often than not, a lot of these people that go into office or run for office, you may, some of the folks, you know, go in for the celebrity status. Some go in because they really want to make a difference. And
I think most, in order to have the right personality type to even make it as a politician, most of them have some pretty big egos.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you got to play to that ego.
Playing to that ego is important, yeah.
Aaron?
But then
Aaron, if
yes.
I may?
Yes, please.
Yeah, this is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
How powerful would it be, and I just thought about this, we got over 7,000 state representatives in the United States. How powerful is it that 7,000 representatives to tell the 435 what they're going to do?
Oh, very good point. Very good point.
It puts the states back on top of them.
Mm.
That's right. That's right, it does.
You're shocked.
Because that's been one of the biggest issues going on lately, is states' rights.
Yeah, and them trying to push trying to push so much in on the federal level.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
is scary.
And think about this, y'all. For each state, you're going to have so many federal representatives once we get this initiative finished. You'll have so many representatives, federal representatives in each state, and still those state representatives are going to be above them because they're just federal representatives. They still have to
That's
answer
right.
to the state, and those state reps.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. That's something I hadn't really thought about, Dan. Thank you for putting that in my head, that twist. Yes.
Well, I got to thinking about the other night when I was listening in. We were talking about the 6,400 federal reps once we get the first right done. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, heck, we're still going to have over 7,000 state reps.
Right.
So they're going to be over the federal, which is where it should be.
Which is the way it should be, exactly. Oh. And here's a way to appeal to our state representatives. Let them understand and know that we need to get our states back under control, get our sovereignty back. And that's the whole point, is bringing that state sovereignty back. The
you
only way they can do that is to control that federal representation.
Yeah.
That puts it back to a republic.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, it does. And you know what state would be very keen on that is Texas.
Yes.
If it has not already been ratified in Texas, that might be the next state to target.
Believe it or not, Texas is a tough nut to crack still. They do have quite a few chapters, tax prosthetics chapters in Texas. They've been working on that. And we have our first right representatives in Texas, but it's tough getting the message out because they have a good old boys network down there in the state house in Texas. So it's kind of a tough nut to crack because they all sort of pat each other on the back. And I've heard this from a few folks that I've talked to down there that understand how the Texas legislature works. And it's tough down here. It's going to be a real tough one. But I agree with you. I mean, it would be an awesome coup to get Texas on board as the 12th state. And we just work our way up on out, you know, like the fingering out throughout the rest of the country, because Where Texas goes, it seems like most of the country goes these days. It used to be California. Everybody's moving from California to Texas, so Texas seems to be the hot spot.
Well, I mean, California is falling apart at the seams. I don't think anyone wants to copy them right now.
No, not many people want to move in there right now.
No, everyone's moving out.
Right, exactly. But Texas seems to be the place where everybody's going, and it just seems to me like it's kind of a hotbed of activity and action. If we can really make a big splash in Texas.
I have a bit of a network in Texas because I lived there for a little while. So let me see who I can contact. I mean, I don't know if I know anyone, you know, in power or anything like that. But if I know enough people that can get the word out,
mm-hmm.
that might help us.
Jen, how difficult would it be for us to recreate an OFR page for every state?
Not hard at all. But you would need to put out there that you're looking for admins for each because you wouldn't be able to manage that many pages on your own.
Good point. So if we have people in certain states already on point, we could create an OFR page for them and ask them to be the moderator or admin for that page.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's good. I'd like to get these folks something to really work with on their own and so they can start spreading the word from where they are in their state.
Okay. And the main OFR group, do you want to just make that the one for Kansas? Where are you guys? You guys in Kansas or Kentucky?
We're in Kansas, and no, that's going to be our national, drop page for the group. So we'll make our own Kansas OFR page.
Gotcha. All right.
Bill the admin.
Whoa. Sorry. I just got scared. That was like the biggest lightning blast ever right in front of my house.
Oh, my gosh. I heard that, too.
Oh, my gosh. I almost had a heart attack just now. Okay. I can start making those group pages and then add you as moderator so that you can pop in whoever you want.
That would be fantastic. Then I can go through and put everybody in that needs to be there. Okay. How about I send you a list of states?
Sure, that you already have people in?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Great. And we'll get started that way.
All right.
Terrific. I'm writing this down.
And then I'll be adding all of those groups onto the page as well so people can pop on the page and find their state.
Excellent. I love that. Thank you. Oh, wonderful.
Hey, I got the call got dropped on me right when I was saying something. I don't remember what I was saying when the call dropped off. But I want to...
I remember where we were.
I can't remember where I was at, but I do want to finish a thought.
Okay.
Because we were back there, it had something to do with state legislators.
We were talking about how to motivate them.
Yes.
To get on board.
I had a vision, and there was three people. One of them was a legislator sitting at his desk, or her desk. I guess it was a E. And two other people, I wasn't one of the two others, but one of the two others was a sketch artist, and the other one was an OFR spokesperson, somebody there to present OFR, and the conversation was going on between this legislator and this OFR person, and the other person was a sketch artist. And in just a brief amount of time, 5 or 10 minutes, as this conversation is going on, this sketch artist was sketching the legislator on a horse with a bunch of kids and another guy on a horse just in front of his. And the guy on that horse that was just in front of his was George Washington. And at the top of the sketch was the legislator's name. And the last thing before these people left his office was the sketch artist said, "Here, this is for you. That's you." And of course, you know how good sketch artists are. Nobody had to really tell him who the other guy on the horse was, just ahead of his. And obviously he's going to automatically reference his children when he sees all the little kids around the two guys on the horses.
That's actually a really powerful vision that you have.
Yeah,
I wrote that down.
Yeah.
Vision I had, I wanted to share with everybody, just in case maybe somebody's a sketch artist.
Wow.
But would, if we were a legislator, would that not motivate you?
Yeah, because it really pushes home the fact that you can be a part of a memorable
something
part
big.
Of history.
Yeah.
And finish something that's been in the works since the founding of our nation.
And that legislature would never forget that.
Mm.
And he would probably save that sketch for the rest of his life. And
probably be passed down from generation, end up in a museum someday.
Yeah, you never know.
Wow, Bill. That's a powerful message there. I like that.
Maybe we can find ourselves a sketch artist to sketch, you know, the 12th state, whichever legislator is the one that spearheads it.
Well, Jim, I want to give you all credit for that vision because of the conversation we had about tuning forks and music. You shared with me that you know music. You know how to play music. That makes you an artist, maybe a different kind of artist than a sketch artist, but it was because of that conversation that suddenly I was hit with that vision from your artistic sharing with me.
Well, I love the way your mind goes from one thing to the next, Bill. You got an amazing mind there.
He does. I like that idea. And, you know, you can find students everywhere who would be willing to follow you around to do that. I mean, for them, it's the experience of going into the Capitol and talking to their representative and then being able to, you know, share their artwork, that experience, too.
You know, I can even see that artwork being continued with that first for the 12th state to be in the next painting with the next legislature for, like, the 13th state behind him, and so on.
Ooh.
And so forth.
Oh, I like that. You know what?
We
happen to know an artist who could possibly recreate something like that for us.
That would be amazing.
One of our board advisory members. That would be great. Daniel Newton, just an absolute wonderful help for us and an advisor with our first right, and he's also an amazing artist. And he's been putting up a lot of his pictures and paintings on all over the place. I've been seeing them everywhere, and I just love his artwork.
Yeah, he's awful fast at that, too.
Yeah, he's into his Jack Rabbit phase. Yeah. So I can see that would be really powerful to have that image of George Washington on a horse and then, you know, somebody who looks like a representative on another horse falling behind with all of that you described, Bill, and maybe a little caption that says, who's next?
You know, it's interesting.
Who's next?
Because we're going to have to go back and listen to this recording, but that's who I had in mind. But I don't think I mentioned George Washington's name.
Oh, you did not, did you?
My thought transferred to you right away, sister.
I caught that image in my head immediately as you started talking about it.
See there, I didn't even have to say it. I knew who I was talking about, and I didn't have to say it because you knew too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I think this is all relative, Jim. So we were talking earlier about tuning.
Yeah, when you all get on the same wavelength, we're all on the same frequency.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the trick... And that's probably a bad word to use because I don't think it's a trick. I think it's a natural occurrence. If we are, if we can get there to where we feel all that stuff, when we walk into a room or walk into the presence of another, we can change our tune so we don't have to change theirs. We just change our tune, and now we're in a better position to get in rhythm with that person.
Right.
And so then we can, for lack of a better way of putting it, suddenly they're in rhythm with us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
you just have to. You just have to have the stronger frequency, and then you can change the whole mood of an entire room.
Mm. True. And Bill has a way of setting the mood in an entire room just by walking in and grinning.
I'm sure
I've
he
seen
does.
Him do it. I've seen it in action. It's amazing. It's amazing. In fact, I kind of missed it. I need to get him out here for coffee. Kind of miss having my cup of coffee with you, Bill, so we need to get together for coffee. Maybe we can drag Dan out and the three of us can go have coffee at JNF.
Well, you know, I have been thinking about such things, maybe not to the degree at which I'm sharing tonight. And, of course, you know, I could share so much more. We could be on the phone for hours, but I won't do that. But I've been thinking along those lines for years and decades about, I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, the rhythm of things.
Did you drop out again, Bill?
I say I've been thinking for decades about the rhythm of things.
Mm.
But I've been so far away from the orchestra, I think, that I'm still not close enough. But I'm getting closer every day. You know, if I live long enough, I'll be able to pick out every single instrument and then maybe I will be able to say, oh, I get it. I understand now. I'm just not there yet.
Well, maybe that's what we need to do is get ourselves closer to the orchestra, so to speak.
Well, I am so glad nobody called me a crazy man, because I think about all this stuff and I never have anybody to bounce it off of, and so I just kind of have to be introverted and hope that I'm, you know, picking up on some of the right vibrations and distinguishing the real awful static crap from the other stuff. And And since I shared some of this intimate thoughts with you guys, I've got to laugh for one, and then the other one, I got to thank everybody for not thinking I'm some kind of whack job.
No, not hardly, Bill.
And you know, the crazy thing is, I mean, you came up with all this stuff on your own, but you're definitely not the only one out there that has thought these things. Which is the
Absolutely.
Amazing thing.
Well, you know, since you mentioned it, I'm going to point this out, and this is obvious, since you just said what you said. We all have the same father, and as my grandmother used to say, children don't take after strangers.
Yep.
And her meaning in telling me that was, unless you let them. So I think she was telling me, Billy, don't let your kids take after strangers.
Hmm.
You better pay attention to them.
Hmm.
But since we all have the same father, if we pay attention to him, we're all going to have similar thoughts.
Go ahead.
Well,
oh no, I don't want to end the conversation. Keep talking.
I was going to say that whole line about don't let them take after strangers is why I want to homeschool, because I feel like when you send your kids away to public school, that's when they come home and they're like strangers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you got kids going to a government school, you better debrief them.
Yeah. Yep.
Good point. Yeah. Come home every day and debrief them. Okay, what did they teach you in school today? Let's talk about what was wrong.
Yep.
So, speaking of education, this is a good segue. I came across an article in the Lawrence Journal World, and it's about a symposium that they're planning in Lawrence, and it's about Quantrill's Raid and the Border War. And it plans to be very, very interesting. It sounds like it's going to be really cool because they're going to have somebody from the Missouri side come over and talk about one aspect of the story and then have other people talk about the other aspect. So it's going to be a learning opportunity for people to really learn what really happened to Quantrill's Raid in Lawrence.
When is this?
It's August 16th and 17th.
That's my birthday.
No doubt.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Where is this going to happen at?
It's going to be right here in Lawrence at the the community building at 9th and Mass.
You know, I think school starts right around there. Well, no, that's a Saturday, I think, this year.
It's a Friday and a Saturday. It's a Friday and a Saturday. Which day is your birthday, the 16th or the 17th?
School will have just started, or it's going to start that. I think school will have just been in session for a week when that happens. But you, the reason that this is interesting to me, and I want you to remind me about it, is because of the history professor friend of mine that I have may be involved in it, or maybe I should take him with me so he can give me that's exactly, they got it pretty good.
It's going to cost $35 per day to go. I choked when I saw that. I thought, what, $35 for this? But it sounds like a really good opportunity for learning, and also a good opportunity for us to get in there and talk about, you know, our first right as well.
So this is an outdoor event?
No, it is. It is an indoor event. It's indoors. $35 per day per person. For a two-day event symposium. And they've got some sort of a special deal that if you had booked a hotel room at the Eldridge Hotel, you could have gotten a special deal for symposium. So,
yeah, Aaron.
Yes.
I posted that on the Kansas Civics page.
Oh, terrific. Well, there you go, Bill. You go on Facebook
and
you go to the Kansas page.
Did you see that picture I posted of that billboard just outside of the Compton? A while back.
Oh, yeah.
And then David changed it. I don't know who did it, but man, he did a good job. Did you see that, JB?
I missed that.
Did you see it, JB?
Yes, I did. I believe it's on the Our First Right Facebook page.
Did you see it after David changed it?
Oh, yeah.
That made me laugh so hard. I'm laughing again right now.
I happen to live just down the road from Lecompton, Kansas, which is the territorial capital of Kansas, but also was supposedly one of the larger and more important skirmishes out here during the Civil War. And they have a giant poster board sign as you're coming into Lecompton with Lincoln on there and something about where the war ended or something like that.
Where the Civil War started.
Where the Civil War started or something to that effect.
And slavery ended,
yeah. And it makes me laugh and want to throw eggs at it every time I see it. What's cool about this symposium, Bill, is that it brings back the whole topic about
why the Civil War really happened and what and how people have gotten it wrong. And it's really interesting because the guy from Missouri is bringing forward information about this is what was happening to the people of Missouri by the Union soldiers, what the Union soldiers were doing to them and forcing them to do and ousting them their homes and everything, hurting people, you name it. And they say that Quantrill did that in retaliation, but there's a lot more to the story. And other people keep saying, no, it's just still all about slavery. So this promises to be a very lively, good discussion. If I can scrape together $35, boy, I'd love to go to that because it all ties back into what Lincoln did and how it screwed so much up. And Kansas is like, unfortunately, we have a lot of scars here in Kansas as a result of the Civil War because of what we went through, push and pull the state here. And what happened between Kansas and Missouri, the border wars, to this day, and this is not a joke, to this day, it is still an ongoing thing. They talk about the border wars between Kansas and Missouri. There's still that distinction between the two states. They sit right next to each other, but because of all of the Civil War skirmishes that happened along that state line, there's still a lot of animosity that carries on 200 years later. It's ridiculous, but so this promise would be very interesting to kind of bring a lot of this information and this truth out in the open so people can understand it from a better, bigger perspective rather than just their limited understanding because their great-great-grandfather was killed and this is a story that was repeated to them. So I'm looking forward to this. Hey, Dan, you want to go too? So anyway, I had to bring that up. I just thought that really...
I wonder if they'll talk about militia.
They will. They will, because in the story they reported that the reason that Quantrill came into Kansas, into Lawrence, was to kill the Lawrence militia members, the organized militia of that county. It ought to be very interesting. Boy, like I said, I'd like to screw up $35 so I can go to that because it's so key to understanding much of what went wrong in this country. If we can understand some of those things in history that have been taught to us wrong, and boy, were we taught wrong. I was. I mean, I was told a completely different story from what I'm learning and understanding now. And I'm really upset and disappointed that, you know, here I live in the hotbed of all of this, and I was educated completely improperly.
Well, when you
indoctrinated.
Yeah, when you go back to what Lincoln actually did in his executive orders, he basically sent out a government contract to all the mayors in the United States at that time, to send their militias to Washington, D.C. to put down the insurrectionists in South Carolina. Okay? And people don't understand that created the mercenary freedom home front fighters in the country. If you take a look at the civil wars that's happened in the world, say the last 2,000 years, you'll see a common thread run through them. And part of that is the rewrite of history, what actually happened. But here we are again, right back at the feet of the mainstream media, the scribes, and the people recording the events for prosperity. And that's something the guy from Missouri is bringing forward into it. You guys hear one side of the story in Kansas. Missouri hears one side of the story in Missouri. But the official record says something entirely different. So it makes for an interesting symposium.
When you start to learn what the Civil War was really all about, then it, that, you know, that piques your interest and you want to know, well, what are they telling everybody? What do they think the story is? So I'm curious to know more. It would help open a lot of eyes, at least here in the Midwest, to understanding why it was so key, what was happening here, and what was really going on, where the orders were coming from. I'd like to know more about Order 11, you know, the Order 11 that happened in Missouri, and how so many people were hurt and killed, and there's just so much that we don't understand and know yet, but once we can educate people and help them understand more about, you know, our history and how it really does affect us today. People keep saying that history doesn't matter, it's in the past. Well, actually it does matter, because we're doomed to repeat it if we don't understand it and fix our mistakes and move forward. So here we are with repeating and repeating and repeating the same mistakes over and over again, because we never understood and learned our real history and understood the truth. So once we can get to those truths, we can start moving forward. And we can move forward by, you know, fixing things, by, you know, getting that better representation, so that we can really take control of our state. The people themselves are finally, you know, back in the position they're supposed to be in. And that was the problem during the Civil War, is that people, you know, felt that they had the right to stand at their position. And other people felt that they didn't have the right to stand their position. So it's go ahead, I'm sorry.
Here's your Lecompton sign, Bill. It's a highway billboard. I believe it's on I-70.
No, it's on Highway 40.
Highway 40, okay. Historic Lecompton, Civil War birthplace, where slavery began to die.
Began to die.
All right. David's correction. Historic Lecompton, Lincoln's War, where America began to die.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
He did a good job on that, didn't he?
Somebody
yes,
save
did,
that
Bill.
Picture. Somebody save that picture.
Got it.
I'd like to put that up on our website. And at this time, what time is it? It is 8:44. Is that right? 8:49. Zenby, I think we can go ahead and shut down the recording for the night. I want to thank everybody who's joined us, and some of the discussion has been really awesome. But if anybody has anything more they'd like to add at this time on the record, please feel free to speak up. And if not, we'll go ahead and shut down the recording and leave the call open for more discussion, because I really like where you guys have been going. So thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you again next week.